You know, it's been so dry this year. That's just Coke in that glass, by the way. But you have to get something with a little bit of bite to it in order to cut the phlegm. I was like, ah, all right. Anyways, okay, we're going to just change direction for just a little bit of time here. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to you about California surf music. And myself and Hilda and Scott and Lori and Charles and Shirley Rainbow, we used to take your kids. So it's now a statute of limitations. So I'm okay now. We took to some of your kids to concerts. And, you know, I remember one time coming back from St. Albert at the Art and Theater there and listened to the Allies. I don't know. The easiest way to connect you with Allies, Bob Carlisle, Butterfly Kisses. I don't know if you know that. Anyways, so we had a couple in the car, and I won't tell you who that was. And we had some kids in the car. Don't you tell my mom and dad what kind of music was played at this concert. So now that it's 20 years from now, so somebody asked me, well, what does California surf music gospel sound like? I said, well, you come to church in 2 weeks when I preach again, and I'll play you about 30 seconds, otherwise you'll lose your salvation. So does anybody, you guys know who Fleetwood Mac is? All right. Stevie Nicks? Okay. Okay, this is kind of the Fleetwood Mac of gospel. You got a woman lead singer, and the males back her up. But anyways, we'll play about 30 seconds, and then if you cover your ears or whatever, you know. This would be, it's got to be a lot louder than that. It's coming. Only you have to have it about three times louder. Then you wonder why our squirrel is so sketchy. It's like, I went out to feed him the other day, and the birds, and it's like we got music playing, and you can hear this out here really nice and clear. But you know, the funny thing is, the deer, they just lay down and listen to it. It's, well, I don't know. Maybe we have rock and roll deer, I don't know. Anyways, I want to tell you one thing for sure, and that is in talking to Grace Kells this week, she says, remind everybody, I got to remind myself to say hi to everybody. She says, hi to you. She's having it, the weather's beautiful down there. She says, the sun rises and the sunsets are so awesome. And she said, my kids spoil me, but she says, I miss my church family back in Camrose. And it's like, yeah, we miss you too. We, you know, for Grace, because for myself, it goes way back to when Pastor Namas, because we started that church in Hardesty, and Grace, I believe, was secretary at the school there at that time, and she became she was an elder there, she was an elder here. And it's like, you can't get rid of that. Yeah, it's not a position, it's a calling, it's a gifting that God has given you. And like every time I talk to her on the phone, just like I talk to our elders here, it's like they always have a nugget they leave with you. Always something really good. It's like, yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, speaking of nuggets, I better get going here. So hi from Grace, that's the number one thing. And also, one of the suggestions we had, well, this is the last Sunday of the month, and so we suggested to you to either host or go somewheres or take somebody to restaurants, those that you can find something, someone that's like-minded kind of thing and like is able to do what you can do and vice versa. And let's at least get together and start having some lunches and suppers together and whatever. And so all of you that are hosting today, however that's happening, thank you for doing that. For those of you who have said, okay, we'll come to your place or we'll go to this place, that's fine. Just remember, some seniors need a Sunday afternoon nap. And so it's always important. All right. But yeah, I want to share with you this morning a new command I give you. And so let's get into this. And let's get into this. There. Praise the Lord. Okay, and I don't know how this is all going to turn out on here because me and PowerPoints don't always get along. Because, you know, you make something, and then you're reading the Word, and it's like, man, I would really like to put that into my message on Sunday, which is fine on paper. Word is okay. But you get into PowerPoint and try to mess around in there, who knows where it's going to show up. So it's just bear with me today on that in that regard. Matthew 22, 34 to 40 is a very, very familiar scripture to you. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Okay, this is our starting base today, but this is not our finishing point. Our finishing point today is I want you to go home from here knowing that God really, really loves you and that he really cares for you and that he's got some stuff for you that you haven't even heard of yet. But I want you to go with that feeling and with that convincing that because God loves me, I can love others, you know? Have you ever found, for whatever reason, times which you think it's really difficult because of my circumstances, because of situations, because of what's happening, I'm really finding it hard. You don't have to put your hand up. I'll put my hand up because I've done it. It's like, I really have a hard time loving God at this particular moment. I really have. There's times when I can't love God. I'm supposed to do this, but I don't know how to do it. Or have you ever had people irritate you? It's like, I have a hard time loving this person, God. They really tick me off. And the cool thing about God, that's an old word, cool. The thing about God is that he never gives you a command or any instructions without equipping you ahead of time. That's so awesome, you know. And so, you know, there's many laws in the Bible. Need some light up here. All right. There's a law of Moses. There's a law of God. There's a law of sin, and there's a law of faith. There's the law of righteousness and the law of liberty. But today we're going to talk about the law of Christ. And when we hear the word law, we all kind of freak out sometimes because, oh, that's a law. But this is all good news. So Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34, 35, a new command I give you. Praise the Lord. All right. I don't have to do this in my own will anymore and in my own strength because love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. You know, it's the law of Christ to me is the law for a new creation. As I have loved you, that's the key in that to me. Under the old, you loved others as yourself, and if you didn't have it in you to love others, you know, people hurt you. And sometimes because they hurt you, it's like, I have a hard time loving that person. Then you become a lawbreaker. But in the new, we receive the love of God And out of that overflow of that love, we are empowered to love others. There's a difference. Under the old, you provided the love, but the new, under the new, God supplies all our needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus. You know, last week, Shannon was talking about community, and we had, I love our home group. We have awesome home group, and I think Wednesday home group's nice, too. We should get more going because I just enjoy being part of, you know, we've talked about community and being part of the body of Christ, and we're all different. And that's one of the things, when you just get together casually like that, you know, I was going to say, you don't have to dress up in suits, well, there's nobody in a suit here today, so don't worry about that. But you know what I'm saying? You just gathered around tables and going over the message from Sunday, it's nice to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to different people. And we get off on all kinds of tangents, and that's no problem. That's no big deal. But just enjoying hearing what is coming through the hearts of different people. And it's the same Spirit, the same God. We're all born again because of Jesus, but the way that he expresses himself through each one of us is different. You know, and to me, that's just totally awesome because there's different ways of community. We can't go through the whole thing again, or you and I will be here for a long time because then I'll be preaching two sermons again. But you know, we're part of community in so many different ways. The same Spirit. And that's what's exciting because as we move forward, it doesn't mean that God's going to express his love through us the same way he did 10 years ago. You know, there's nothing you can compare the love of God to and the way he expresses himself. But, you know, in our earthly forms, there's many ways of expressing how things change. You know, when I was born and raised in Edmonton, it's like I'm a city boy. And I was the guy that said, okay, I'm never getting married. I was one of the first guys in the youth groups to get married. But I found me this country gal. She was a rancher, and he never expressed anything to me, but my father-in-law, Jack, you know Jack. Some people say you don't know Jack, but we know Jack. And he was so soft, and he never, ever expressed any disappointment that I'm sure he would have liked Hilda to have married a rancher. And in fact, the year that before I came here, there was one farmer selling out, and he made the offer. He said, Ralph, I'll help you get that home quarter. I'll help you get started with some calves if you feel you would like to do that. And it's like, there is an offer. And I said, no, Dad, I'm called to the ministry. And he said, I thought you were going to say that. Bless his heart. You know, like he called himself, I forget what he called himself, just a part-time farmer because he only had 14 sections, you know. Carla ends. Her grandpa, Bob Blair, had a whole town section. What is it, 22 sections or something for a township? Something like that? It's like, Jack called himself a hobby farmer. I was like, all right, well, as far as the eye can see, this is your property. And then, boy, did he ever like Jamie, too. And he showed her everything. Anyways, so I'm going to the ranch south of Youngstown, halfway to the Blood Indian Dam down there, and this city boy. And, of course, when you go to stay at, I mean, you've experienced this probably a lot of you, you're expected to help. And I told Hilda this many times, I don't see your dad coming to Amisk or Camrose and taking over in the pulpit for me, but as expected when I go down there, be a good son-in-law. So it's like, I got to learn all this stuff. It's like, I've never fed, well, I shouldn't say I have never fed cattle because I've been on the odd farm now and then. But when I went down there, like, Jack had a team of horses. That's how he fed in the wintertime. So I was like, okay, I got to learn all this. And everything was done hands on. Like it was the small bales, none of this stuff. So, well, first you got to get some straw. It's like, oh, what do you use straw for? Well, they need some bedding. And you got all of them fences out there to break the wind. So you put the straw down there. And so he had this handmade wooden handle. And the knife on there was a harrow blade. So that's what I had to cut the strings on these. And he gave me some instructions, and I'll go slow enough, and you just, put the bales off. Okay, I'll kick the bales off. So then we got to go back, and then we got to get some hay, because we got to have hay to put the straw in. They got to have some feed of some sort. So then we go over and get some hay. Then we got to come back. Okay, now we're going to change from the wagon to the cart, because we got to put some oats in there. Now, there's a slide underneath. And as I go, if you just open it, and I forget how many inches he told me, you got to open it so many inches, and we'll just let the oats go then on top of the hay, which is on top of the straw, and the cows are all having a great time eating. And then, of course, you got to stop, pull out the axe, and make a hole in the dugout, because you got to have them be able to drink something, and that ice sometimes gets to about 3 feet thick, And a lot of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm learning this. This is back in 1973, a long time ago. And so, then you come back to the barn and or back to home again. And then you got the yearlings there. All of those, they're going to be cows that you're keeping so that, in time you can have more calves. And so that was my job. So the year before I came here, it's like, I'm feeding these bales, so I'm practicing my preaching. I'm telling them to repent, and you get right with God. And they listened to me. I was like, they were my friends. And then I had to go over to the bullpen, and back in those days it was Herefords. That's what Jack raised, was Herefords. Then he went to Angus. But everything was just like Jack, eh? Just like Jack. You could walk through the bullpen. You could walk any place you wanted. And they're your friends. I mean, in the wintertime, you can see all their breath and everything and feed the bulls. The one thing I could never do, you don't feed horses. That's Jack's job. Nobody's going to feed his horses but him. So while I'm doing all that, then you got your pen of odds and ends, and you got a couple of steers that you're fattening up for another year or whatever because you're going to butcher them. You got to do that. And so it's like that took half the morning. So that's not the way my brother-in-law Jerry and his son Cordell do things now. There ain't no team because in time Jack couldn't find a team of horses that he liked. So then you had to go to the tractor, and then you went to the big round bales, and now it's basically the machinery does the job for Jerry and Cordell, eh? They got to do their chores in the morning and evening. And then, of course, there's the evening chores. But like it was Saturday, not on a Sunday, but on a Saturday, time to get out the hounds, and it's time to go hunting coyotes. Something that's totally illegal now. But that's one regret that I have is that I always wanted to take Merlin and Joanne out to the ranch. I wanted to take Merlin going coyote hunting. I could just see him excited about that. Yeah. And Joanne and my mother-in-law would have got along really well in the kitchen there and in the house but it never happened. But you go out there. And it was really handy that I was a long-distance runner because Jack would send me out, you just go run around that coulee there, chase them out, and I'll be on the other side. Yeah, right. How about I drive and you run? But I'm just saying, you can't do that now. It's just a memory that I have, the city boy has, and got it awesome to spend many years with an awesome father-in-law who was closer to me than my own dad. And it's a sad thing that we buried them both, or we buried everybody. Some things about Bible college they don't tell you about. It's like, yes, you go with families and you try to you know what that's like. It's like, yes, they're in sorrow and you try to mourn with those who mourn, but it takes a piece out of you too. And you got to renew your strength. That's why that scripture, they that wait upon the Lord will renew. You got to find a way to wait upon the Lord. And sometimes it's through music. It's just like, Lord, I just... You know, but yeah, you got to go through all them, and you got to bury all those people. You got to work with their families, and you got to buy all them trays of fruit and sandwiches, and you got to go through some of that. You know, church pop, church juice, the really weak Kool-Aid, and the half a bun with one little thin slice of ham on there. It's like I go in the back and I get three or four and put them together, and then. It's like this. I mean, I serve the God of plenty, right? We have a God of plenty. He's more than enough, so I want that to happen. And that's like what we're reading here. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. And that's going to change how that happens, how that is expressed over the years. You know, I'm going off on a tangent here. You know, I was going to add that you don't go hunting coyotes on a Sunday. That doesn't happen on Sunday. You get up and you go to the Youngstown Gospel Chapel, and you put your cowboy hat on that rack, and you put your coat on this rack. You take your boots off, put them down there, and then you put your shoes, Sunday church shoes, on, and you could just see over that back wall, cowboy hats. Just a different way of living than what I grew up to. But I totally enjoyed it. Totally enjoyed it. Yeah, because we're community, and community takes different forms, and that changes in our life, how that's going to look. You know, in talking to Grace, and again, if you're single, you guys are single. It's fine to be single. No, not a problem. Because I've asked her from time to time. We talk about it. Like, why didn't you get married again? Like, she lost her husband at an early age. And I talked to Vivian Johnson about that the same way, you know. And so it's just like, because I said, you know, sometimes people over the years have come to me and they're saying, well, I'm single, but I don't want to be single. It's like, okay, you're kind of asking the wrong guy. I haven't got, you know, the older you get, the less you know. You know, like, when I was in Bible school, I could answer every question. I can't answer no questions now. But, you know, what? You know, why? Well, what do you want in a person? Like, what are you looking for? What's happening? Well, I can't understand why I know women like me. I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got this ability, and I can do this, and I can. I say, okay, stop a minute. There's your problem right now. It's all about you. And you can't make relationship all about you. You got to make it about, and it's okay if you're single, then that's fine. But you have to find something good, and you have to see something that you like in somebody else. And if they want what you got, they'll take it. If they don't, they won't. And it's like, people ask me this. It's like, well, I don't know. I lucked out twice. So I'm like, don't ask me. I don't know. I don't know what. I have no idea. You know, but the thing is, no matter what it is, and this is one thing about when the love of God comes into our heart, it just overflows us. And just like as he says, as I have loved you, so you can love one another. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And that's the whole thing about the gospel. It's not, you know, it's just so awesome that, you know, people say, well, I'm looking for God. I'm searching. Well, God's looking for you. He's the one come looking for you. And he still does that. And he's just waiting for us to respond because he's got our best interests in mind. He loves us so much. Amen. Okay, that's not in the notes. You guys on Tuesday and Wednesday, that's not in the notes, so. All right. Oh, we got another page coming here. Here we go. First John. Let's do this, because I want to give Crystal all the time she wants. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, John took this to heart. You guys, you've heard this from the beginning. From the beginning, this is the message that we should love one another. That's a good thing. All right, John 4, 16 to 19. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And that should be 1 John 4, 16 to 19. And then there's some other scriptures that I don't have on here. I can tell you that right now, but I'll just share with you. John heard this message from Jesus. He called it his commandment, so he took it as his own. 1 John 3:23, or a new commandment. 1 John 2:8. We don't love one another to become the children of God. We love because we are the children of God, and God who is love. 1 John 4:8. As we receive our Father's unqualified love, we are able to love others with the same abandon. We can it overflows. And how do we do that? Well, what we do is we hit like on Facebook, and no, not through empty chatter and Facebook likes, but by caring and caring for each other. Galatians 6:2, I might have that one in here. I don't even know where I'm pulling some of this stuff from. All right, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. All right. Okay. That's good. Yeah, if you want to get the box. There's all kinds of scriptures on love that you can find for yourself. And we're going to pray.